Hi, this is Olivia.
And this is Robin, and you're listening to K-Pop Hot Sheet. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and YouTube at K-Pop Hot Sheet and rate us on Apple Music or Spotify if you enjoyed the show. So we cannot escape the Minhyejin drama. We talked about it at length last time, but I mean, this drama is just going to keep going and keep going and keep going, probably forever, because she will keep her name out there in the news. But since we last spoke, on May 17th, the hearing for her injunction began, and the members of NewJeans filed a petition with the court to try to prevent the dismissal of her from Adore. But on that same day, her KakaoTalk chats were leaked.
It's great timing, by the way, whoever leaked them.
So it was a YouTuber, I believe, who shared KakaoTalk conversations that Minhyejin allegedly had while NewJeans were preparing for some sort of award acceptance speech. She made so many different comments about them, but especially these ones around, like, even if they get as fat as a pig, I'm making sure they gather popularity. Basically, like, they didn't get popular because they did well. I made them who they were. Quote, fat elementary schoolers who can't lose a single pound and get scolded to death.
Oh my God.
Saying, like, wow, so-and-so, like, the name is redacted, is so fat and ugly. And also derogatory remarks towards the fans, saying, quote, watching brainless kids going crazy, calling themselves fans.
Mm-mm-mm. Just digging that hole, girl, aren't you?
Yeah. So then, while all of this is going on, HYBE is obviously having a very strong voice in all of this. So I think it was during some of those proceedings around the injunction, HYBE's side was claiming, you know, Minhyejin is portraying herself as the mother of NewJeans, but it's all a facade.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that, because, like, thinking about that whole thing, like, I don't think they're, like, Korean culture, right, in general, like, so many people have made comments online how, like, family members and mothers could, like, talk to you very honestly about things like that, like, call you fat and, you know, lose weight and stuff like that, but, like, it comes out of love and affection for you. So it's not to say that, like, she could still think of herself as the mother to NewJeans, but there is that toxic relationship that she's like, well, you're nothing without me, right? Like, I birthed you, I created you, you better be thankful to me for that. Mm-hmm. And you definitely see that coming out here, right? I think one of the other comments in the KakaoTalk was, if they pretend to be cool while saying impressive things but don't even greet me, I'll feel like I want to kill them, which is pretty intense. But it's also kind of like, you better recognize that I gave you the success, and without me, you are nothing.
Yeah, but that's, it's so gross, though, because then she's also...
absolutely gross and toxic.
She's downplaying the fact that they are talented, that they have their own, like, mm-hmm. that they have a part in this as well. Like, she, I'm sure that under the tutelage of someone else in the industry, they could have been just as successful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, get over yourself, lady.
But that's narcissism. That's narcissism at its finest, right? Like, you are nothing without me. This is because of me. I did this. Your success is due to me, you know? Like, it's nothing you did.
Yeah. So when HYBE's side commented on this, I'm going to read this whole quote. So, quote, the creditors' interests lie in the money that NewJeans makes, not NewJeans themselves, the HYBE rep began before adding on. Quote, Minhyejin has made remarks in the past such as, it's hard to treat the members of NewJeans like artists. It's unbearable that I have to pick up after them. She also said, I was the reason NewJeans succeeded. Minhyejin also mm-hmm. required the NewJeans members to say exactly what she wrote in a script during interviews. She is gaslighting the NewJeans members so that they remain obedient and is framing this as a mother-daughter relationship, end quote.
That's so disgusting.
There's also, what else is going on? There's the criminal complaint against her for defamation.
From B-Lift, yeah. So that's Eilat. I keep wanting to call them Eilat. Eilat's, I guess, senior group, agency or whatever, B-Lift Lab, they filed a criminal complaint. But I'm curious, like, how that compares with her injunction or whatever that is, and versus like the May 31st meeting. Like, so much is going on, and it just, like you said, I feel like this is just never going to end. It's going to drag on for the rest of the year.
Yeah. There's also like plagiarism allegations that have come out, because part of her whole thing was, is it Islet?
Islet, yeah, because it's I'll be it. I will all be right. It.
I don't know why I struggle with that. It so hard, but
we should just be saying I will be it. That's a better name from the group.
Islet. Oh my God, Jesus.
It's just not natural to
it's
us.
It's not. It's weird. It's a weird name of all the names they could have come up with. But, you know, Minhyejin was claiming that they are plagiarizing NewJeans and all of this. So then all of these other, like, I think it's just netizens are coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, but Minhyejin has plagiarized other people in the past. So one of them had to do with FX Pink Tape, which is my favorite K-pop album of all time. So clearly I have an opinion about this. But I'm actually going to take Minhyejin's side on this one for once, because the allegation is that it ripped off like the album cover of a group or a person or some artist called Pink Tape. But their album cover was a cassette tape, like an audio cassette tape. And as we all know, the wonderful, glorious FX album, Pink Tape, the album cover is a VHS tape. Those are two different things. Nobody owns that. The imagery of a freaking, like,
yeah,
audio visual devices. Like, nobody owns that. I'm not going to get mad and be like, you put the picture of a CD on the cover of something and this other person also did. Like, that's just stupid. So
yeah, you get to like the nitty-gritty of like what counts and what doesn't count as plagiarism. And I think there's a name for like the artistic inspiration, right? That's not plagiarism, but it could count as, like, you know what I'm trying to say? There's another name for that, where you could get inspired and that's okay, like that kind of passes.
Yeah. Which
words are not
maybe that's their point in bringing that up, is it's like, it's the same difference. She doesn't own, like,
exactly. Yeah, it's actually, it's interesting because you took her side, but at the same time, it's like, it totally debunks everything she's trying to say and do, right? Where it's like, you can't own that concept. Like, anyone can take that and make that their own.
So somebody else who has taken Min's side was the judge when it comes to her injunction. The Seoul Central District Court ruled in favor of Minhyejin on May 30th, granting her injunction. The reasons for this, the court said, quote, HYBE's reasons for Min's dismissal were not explained sufficiently. What Min has done can be seen as an act of betrayal, but not a breach of trust.
Yeah, which is very interesting, because even within that statement, right, like, she did do something that was wrong, but they're like, technically though, like, we can't say it's a breach of trust, because I'm assuming like that's the breach of trust is like the main reason that could get her taken down, right? So it's like, out of a technicality, she wasn't able to be taken down.
And also the it's not being explained sufficiently. I wonder if they had provided more evidence or something in a different way. I mean, as my husband said, when I read him the headline when it was breaking news, he was like, does that judge go to the same shaman as her? Like,
yeah, that was funny. Well, so the thing is, like, she got a win, but HYBE also got a win, because in the same meeting, they took down two board members that were her close aides, which they were only identified as Shin and Kim. Like, I have no idea what their full names are. I have no idea what their titles were other than close aides. They were dismissed, and they identified three new board members. So they have a new chief human resources officer, they have a new chief strategy officer, and a chief financial officer. So in that case, it's almost like she got to keep the presidency, but, you know, the House of Representatives and the Senate are the opposing party, so then she won't be able to do everything that she wants to do. And even a music critic was, he sent a quote to the Korea Times saying that it will be challenging for Min to speak up in her company. In particular, there will be clashes in matters that require board resolution. In HYBE's case, it may still focus on discovering the smoking gun to prove that she attempted to usurp its control of a door. So I don't think HYBE is backing down. They're just like, okay, you win this round type thing.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they are backing down at all. But also, a few hours after that shareholders meeting, surprise, surprise, guess who shows up to a press conference wearing reasonable clothes, looking like a normal human being?
What she should have done the first time, right? Remember, we're like, right. Why is she looking like a hot mess?
She went looking like a hot mess before, crying, making a scene. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like the stereotypical thing where men have that reason of, like, women shouldn't be in leadership positions because they're too driven by emotion. They're too emotional. Yeah. Like, she was the stereotype of that before. Now, all of a sudden, she's showing up, you know, looking nice. She had, like, a nice yellow-colored blazer cardigan situation, whatever it was, offering an olive branch to HYBE, asking for a compromise, you know, all of these things where all of a sudden she wants to fully make amends, where last time she was crying, cursing, like losing her shit.
It's almost like she's now gaslighting all of us, right? Where she's just like, she went from like an extreme to an extreme, and it's like, oh no, like I wasn't upset at all. Now it's, you know, let's be the bigger people here, HYBE, you know what I mean? When she was fully cursing them out, saying these like old men are trying to take me down.
Yeah, so now she realizes she has to at least pretend play nice, because they're really,
well, now
they're putting the pieces
she knows,
in place.
She
the
knows
chess pieces
exactly
in place.
Exactly. She knows that if she doesn't play nice, there's 3 new board members in the company that can shut down every decision, you know? So I think she knows now she has to be a bit more political. But I don't think it's, what's that expression? Like, I can forgive you, but I won't forget. And I don't think mm-hmm. HYBE's gonna forget. So they're gonna do whatever's in their power to like wait until, what'd you say? Her contract is like 5 years. She's probably done like a year or two, maybe even more if you count like before Eugene's debut, right? So yeah, they might also just be like, fine, we'll deal with you for the next X amount of years. We won't let you have full creative control, and then you can leave.
Yeah. My favorite quote from the press conference was her saying, quote, "I honestly have no idea what the conflict was for or for whom. I'm just so tired of everyone trying to bring everyone down and hurting each other. I know that you all are tired too."
I'm shaking my head.
There are so many things that can't just be explained in a few lines of chats or articles. What I wish for right now is that we all come to our senses and come to a conclusion that's for the good of all.
She's so frustrating. I would be so pissed. Like, you started all this shit, ma'am. And now all of a sudden you're going to be like, guys, can't we all just be friends? What are we fighting about here? It's not about the money, guys. It's not about the money. But like, it is, ma'am.
Yeah, because also I did just see that HYBE's revenue for the first quarter in 2024 came in at 360.92 billion South Korean won. Mm-hmm. But to put that in perspective, that is a 12.1 year-over-year drop.
Wow.
From last year. So her being like, you know, it's all for the girls and the girls' success and all of this, that, and the other thing. Like, it doesn't seem like the girls held the company, you know, at least at the same level that it was last year, and actually all the shit that you did, ma'am, to cause and stir up all of this drama.
You brought the money down.
It hurt it that much.
Was that number that you just said Adore or HYBE in general?
HYBE in general. Like, I think because, well, no, it was revenue. I know their stock has also fallen.
Well, the reason why I ask is because it's not only New Jeans that she brought down, but she brought down Eyelid, because a lot of people went on after Eyelid and Le Sserafim as well. Like, they were like the fans of New Jeans, right, were not supporting and saying really bad things and bringing those girls down. So you're actually hurting the other groups as well, which is under one umbrella company. Like, I get it. Yes, you're different girl groups. Of course, there will be a sense, a bit of competition and stuff. But at the same time, you are under one holding company. You shouldn't be making each other look bad.
Oh, I'm an idiot, though. They say it's attributed to the ongoing hiatus of BTS.
Well, then.
But still, she's playing it off like she made the girl version of BTS. You know?
It's like, first of all, you're going to have to wait a lot of years before that happens, you know? Like, relax. You're not going to get to that level. They are no BTS. Because BTS also is beyond just, like, they produce themselves, you know? Like, they don't necessarily... Like, yes, they have producers that they work with, but two to three, I think, out of the members are pretty strong in, like, actually producing most of the tracks and working in the music. Whereas, like, NewJeans doesn't do that. NewJeans is, like, your classic girl group that, like, does what the parent company tells them to do.
Right.
So you can't tell me they're fucking BTS. Like, come on.
Mm-mm. So that's where we're at for now. Hopefully we don't have to have yet another episode about Minhyejin, but, you know.
I mean, we'll not over, so I'm sure we will.
It's 2024's 50-50.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Minhyejin, good luck to ya. Good luck, girl. We'll see what happens. It sounds like NewJeans has a lot of stuff coming up, so I'm curious to see, like, if their success will continue or if it will falter.
Only time will tell.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
but we'll stop talking about her now.
That's enough. That's enough of Minhyejin. Until the next show, waves jazz hands, you know. But another topic that we can't escape, although I wish we could and I wish this never happened, is the Burning Sun scandal, if anyone remembers it. But BBC actually recently released a documentary on the Burning Sun scandal, and it really centers around two female Korean journalists who took on the task on investigating these sex scandals that came out that were involving prominent K-pop stars, which one of them involves Seungri from Big Bang, I forget his name, from CNBLUE, I think there was someone from FT Island, and then there was this singer-songwriter from Drug Restaurant, Jung Jun-young, which I didn't even know he was, I didn't know the band, but I knew him from being on variety shows, like, he was very popular. But yeah, in about 2016, which is, like, crazy that it's been that long, one of those reporters, Park Hyo-shil, covered the accusations of the girlfriend of Jung Joo-young from Drug Restaurant, that there was, like, secretly recorded sex footage. But eventually the girlfriend withdrew her accusations, and that led to the public turning against her, you know, thinking that, like, I guess maybe she lied or whatever, and Jung became the victim and the media was the villain, right? And then fast forward a little bit later, you know, people started digging around and these Kakao text messages came out, these group messages that were just very vile and disgusting. They were, like, sharing sexually explicit videos, images of unconscious women, gang rape, and it was just horrible. And all these guys got time. They're all out now. They've served their time. You know, I'm curious. I'm very curious to watch the documentary. We were just talking about this. Like, Robin and I gotta watch it and really, like, comment on what we think about it. But it's unfortunate. Like, what. And the fact that these was two female reporters that even while they were trying to expose this, they were getting harassed and threatened daily, were called, like, feminazis. One of them had, like, two miscarriages because of the stress. Obviously, you can't, like, fully attribute it. You can't, like, prove that. But I'm sure that had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, it just highlights kind of that dark side of Korea in general and K-pop, right? Because they're connected, they're interconnected.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how it's portrayed. I'm sure that it's BBC. I'm sure that it's going to be probably really, really great in the way that it's going to be extremely difficult to watch, which it should be, because this is not a, like, this shit's fucked up, for lack of a better way to say it, which is why in one of our previous episodes we talked about, like, Hyuna dating the one guy who he didn't play he's a big part in this, but he was,
but he like watched the videos or something. Mm-hmm.
He definitely knew about it,
which is still sick. Like, if you're watching those videos and you're a silent bystander, okay, I guess there's two ways, right? Maybe you're like, you could internally not agree with it, but because, like, maybe the peer pressure and the guys, again, not making it right, but I can understand where, like, some guys do feel the need to kind of go along. Maybe someone shows them the video and they see it, but that doesn't mean they agree with it. Or he was actually partaking in it, but not, like, commenting in it, but has that sick side of, like, oh, like, he enjoyed watching the videos, right?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it's... I don't even know what to say. Apparently, in the documentary, it does go into some more detail about the involvement of Guhara, and how she, I think, got the name of one of the police officers involved to one of the journalists. And, you know, I haven't watched it yet, but it's nice that her involvement in trying to help with the situation, since she had been through her own sort of revenge porn with an ex and all of that. Like, I think she really wanted to do right and try to make things right as best as she could for other women, especially since she went through all of that and she was very famous. So can you imagine if you're just a nobody, like...
Oh, yeah. But that's it. And it's also even harder to be that famous and then have to bring that to light, that, like, oh, it's, like, shameful, right, for, like, your family and friends to say, oh, yeah, like, there's a sex video of me out there and I'm being blackmailed, you know? But that's the only way to take that power away from them, to kind of be like, oh, well, I don't care. I'm going to show people that you're threatening me, right? You're not going to get what you want because you're dangling this over my head. But it doesn't take away from the hurt and the pain that comes with coming out with that.
Yeah.
And which, you know, I mean, it shows, because she eventually died, you know, by suicide. But it's just, it's really sad and unfortunate of how long these sick acts, like, went on and was even protected by the law, right? Because there was police officers that allowed it. I'm sure, you know, people's that hands that were greased to allow it to go on. And we gotta watch it and come back with our thoughts.
I'm glad that somebody put the effort into making a documentary about all that, because I feel like it's one of those things where, especially if you're older fans like us, like, who knew about it when it happened, even then, like, I feel like it's not talked about anymore.
Well, also think about back then, like, it was what, around 2016, 2017, and I think K-pop was a little global, but not as global as now. So you're right, like, it is great that it's kind of coming back to be like, hey, I know everyone's like, oh, K-pop's so cool and fun, but, like, there's still this dark side of it, you know? And a lot of these people that went away are now out and trying to kind of weasel their way in certain ways, you know? And it's like, like, let's make you guys remember what happened a couple years ago.
Yeah. Moving on.
How do we move on from that? Let's go to the lighter side. Like, let's just shake it off and move on to the lighter side of our podcast. But yeah, so I saw that. It's funny because I've mentioned to you my friend Tamar, right, that writes for a lot of articles, and she posted on Instagram actually about the Now That's What I Call K-pop. I just saw it today on Reddit, and I remember I forgot about it, but then I saw that and I'm like, I had to share with Robin, which is hilarious. I also mistakenly thought it was kids pop, which it's not. It's Now That's What I Call K-pop.
I mean, eventually there's probably gonna be kids pop K-pop.
I bet you it already exists. But the interesting thing that we saw, so that was released, it's a compilation album actually. So it was released in the 17th of May of this year. And obviously we assume, like, these are the hot tracks of last year because we're still in 2024. But we noticed that there's no NewJeans on the compilation, which is so interesting because NewJeans, like, was so big.
Yeah. And at first I thought maybe it was because, like, it was only specific labels decided to take part or whatever. But Le Sserafim's on here and Hypen's on here.
50-50's on here. That's, like, not even a group anymore. Well, kind of, I guess.
Oh, no. They still got that one girl.
Yeah. That's true. That stayed. But, or maybe they were initially and then were taken out last minute. Who knows if Hype was like, F you, like, we're taking this group out because of, like, what's going on, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a pretty good mix of songs. Like, I'm here for it. A couple of these I had on my list of contenders for Song of the Year. I did just notice that this cost $21.97 from Walmart. And, like, what the hell? Who's... First off...
That's a very specific number.
Like, you... I'm baffled. I'm baffled because, like, CDs... First off, who's... really playing CDs anymore? You could just go on Spotify and make a playlist of these songs and call it a day. So it's just
that always baffles me too. Like, and I mean, I'm not one to talk because I have literally two CDs of Beyonce's new album I can't play. I can't play.
Right. You have them like the only reason I even buy K-pop albums is for the packaging and the.
Right, like, it came with shirts. Like, I got two different shirts out of it, you know? Exactly. Like, that's really where I got it. And the albums are, like, there's some different pictures. Like, they have different covers. Like, she did the whole K-pop thing with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. For this, I'm baffled, but actually, you know what? I bet that they have it prominently displayed in a Walmart. And, like, somebody's grandma is going to be like, oh, I know that Vicky really loves K-pop. I'm going to get this for her birthday. Like, maybe that's the audience.
Yeah. Wait, I'm curious strange. Because one of the comments, it's funny, one of the comments says, imagine if they put photo cards in these. And then someone said they are, one for each group. But let me look at that article because that's hilarious. Oh, well, my God,
when you look at the picture. They will include
photo cards of all 20 featured artists. That I would get it for that. That makes sense. I would buy it for that because then it's kind of like a collector's item.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
It says it's a photo spread of many carefully curated images of the artist.
No, it's just some pictures on a... Now that's what I call K-pop. Backed photo card. Like, because look in the second picture on the Walmart thing if you're still on there. Like, you can see where it has a little placeholder spot for all the cards. Like, whatever.
I didn't see the Walmart link.
I don't know. Maybe I just went to Walmart by myself to look at the track list. I don't know what I'm doing over here.
Maybe we should get it. Just to have it. It's $21. I mean, $21.97. But also, why $21.97? Why not $21.99? What's up with this 97? Like, it's so specific. Anywho,
it's so weird. Yeah, now that's I didn't realize they were still making. Now that's what I call music. So for any of you kids out there, I don't think we probably even have younger listeners, but if we do, now that's what I call music was a big thing back in the day, and there were TV commercials, if you can imagine.
Yeah, but that's why I confused it with Kids Bop, because I feel like both of them were so big back in the day, and there was TV commercials for both, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a compilation of the popular songs of that particular year. So usually it would be like, now that's what I call music, and it'd be like 20.
Like, that's what I call 90s, right? That's
yeah, 2010 call, yeah. or whatever. And it would be across genres. So I just think it's cute. Now that's what I call K-pop.
I think it'd be great if they actually went backwards and did that's what I call like 90s K-pop, 2000s K-pop, right? See what like ends up on there. As like the top tracks.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah. I'd be more really interested in that at this moment than this one.
Yeah. Because lately when I work out in the morning, I run on the treadmill and I've been playing like the top live stages of like 2014, 2015. And I've been going through each year and it's so fun, especially to see like it really not to just constantly talk about how great FX is, but when you see everything else that is happening in a particular year and then what they're doing is so different.
Yeah.
I'm just like, damn, no wonder they didn't become popular, but my God, I love them.
Aw. They were too ahead of their time.
Oh, absolutely. And Minhee-jin will probably tell you it's because of her.
Yeah. Well, listen, mate, even if she, let's take a moment to like third person, get out of the, you know, like neutral party. Like, even if she like plagiarized artistic expression, whatever, she did have the vision to like push through and go through with whatever the vision was for FX, right? And like you said, like, it is revolutionary, even if people didn't really get it at the time or it made them popular. I would give her some sort of credit at least for that, right? But like, she's still kind of a shitty human, so I don't know how to marry that together.
Well, let's talk about not shitty humans who are having babies.
Oh my God. Oh, so, I love this. I love this so much.
I was on Instagram and I follow Stephanie, who's Benzino's wife. I don't even follow him. I don't care about him. I love her though. But I almost like out loud squealed when I saw her baby bump announcement because I love them together. I love them having a baby and starting a family. Like, so cute.
Also, they're gonna have the cutest freaking baby. Like, she's a model and he's so cute himself too. Like, I have a crush on him, so I cannot wait to see what that baby looks like, although we probably won't see for a while. I feel like he'll probably end up at some point when the baby's older at like Superman Is Back or whatever that show was.
Return of Superman.
Yeah.
They absolutely still have that.
I would die. But yeah, and I think we mentioned it. It's funny that we mentioned them on a different podcast. Maybe when we were talking about his album of the year win. And I mentioned how like I love them and follow them as well. And I remember them from the beginning on, and even when he went to military service and when he came back from military, and like they posted a video of her hugging him. Like, you could tell there's like so much love there between them. And I always wondered, like, oh my God, are they gonna have a kid? But then I was like, you know, some people don't want to have kids, and I figured they've been together for so long, they got married, like maybe they're just not gonna have a kid, which is cool. But then they showed the announcement. I was so happy for them. So cute. Can't wait.
And who? And then,
LaBoom, from, if you remember, which is a group from, what year was that? I want to say 2017-ish, around that time. One of the members, Hain, gave birth to a baby girl, and I suggest everyone looks up the pictures because she is the most adorable little baby I've ever seen, with dimples.
Yeah, I don't even care for babies that much, honestly, but this baby, somebody in the comments was like, oh, that baby is serving face right out of the womb, and they are not wrong.
I know. Future little K-pop star.
Aww.
So excited for babies.
Yeah. I'm glad we got to end on a lighter note before we check out aespa Supernova, which you haven't heard, right? You haven't heard or seen the video.
Which is the usual story between us, right? Like, you will have seen it and I wouldn't have, or I will have seen it and you haven't. So it's great. It's a great balance we have.
All right. Should we go check it out and we'll see what you think, and then I'll tell you what I think?
Yes.
All righty. Okay.
Okay. So I liked it and I didn't like it.
Okay.
I didn't like it because most of the song, it really wasn't my vibe, but I did enjoy the part.
Oh, yeah. Like, whatever, that's my favorite supernova part.
Yeah, that's like the best part. And it also, I realized it's a bit, it gives me those early SM vibes. Like, it's totally an SM song. Like, this is like clear cut to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Other than that, I was like, okay, that part's fun. And then everything else was like, eh. And also the music video is like, what is the story? What is going on here? And what the heck was up with the ending where they have just their pictures and their lips, like the Snapchat filter where their lips move? Like, I'm so confused.
It reminded me of that one group that we talked about on the virtual K-pop's episode. Yeah.
Where you're like, it's not matching.
Yeah. That's weird, but I kind of like it for some reason. I don't know. I'm just... So, yeah. I first heard the song without the video. I played it on Spotify when it came out, and I was just like, I hate this. I want nothing to do with this. Then,
right? It's just weird.
Well, then I saw the video, and that changed my mind. I was like, I kind of like this now. And now when I hear it, I can associate, like, video stuff with it. And I...
That's interesting.
I like it better, but I did...
You felt the same.
It's very repetitive. I mean, it's K-pop,
you
right?
You can tell but it's meant to be kind of like, I think they were looking for the viral, like right now I know the dance is going viral, which is probably that part in the middle.
Well, and I looked at the timestamp on the video of when I was like, okay, the song should end here. Like, mm-hmm. And it was exactly 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Was when I hit my limit and I was like, the song should just cut off. Like, we don't need all this extra repetitive of the exact same thing we just heard.
Oh my god, what's the total time?
I would have to go back and look. I closed it, but it's...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would say 2 minutes, about 2 to 3 minutes is like a usual good end to a song. So... Because it's so repetitive. It's like, why are you making it go so long?
Yeah, hold on. I want to see how long it is. It's like 3 minutes and 14 seconds. So there's 45 seconds they could have trimmed off of that. And I would have been much happier.
They should hire you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But, that's what I'm just like. And that was, I heard it once. And I do think it'll be one of those songs where, like, I'll probably just hear it a lot and it will grow on me. Because again, like I told you, I liked it and didn't like it. But the best songs are the ones that hook me from the first listen. You know, like I think Eyelids like hooked me from the first song because it's just so cute and the whole vibe of it. This one I was like, but I'm interested, you know? Okay. Well, with that being said, I think we've reached the end of our show today. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and YouTube at K-Pop Hot Sheet and rate us on Apple Music and Spotify if you enjoyed the show. You turn your notifications on in Spotify by clicking the bell icon if you want to be notified of new episodes when they're uploaded.
Yes, and please, please give us a rating. If you're still listening at the end here, then we know that you like us. So throw us a 5-star. And also on Apple Podcasts, you can rate a review. You could tell everybody why you like us so much. We would appreciate that.
Or why you hate us.
Not why you hate us. If you hate
us...
Constructive criticism?
Yes, thank you.
I would prefer to receive... I would prefer to receive constructive criticism via Instagram message. You can email us at kpophotsheet@gmail.com.
Don't listen to me. Listen to Robin. Just say how much you love us on the podcast. If you hate us, DM us and we will sort it out.
We will. We'll bring you on as a guest, even.
Ooh, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, we'll have an episode with the haters.
I love it.
All right.
All right, until next time.
Bye.